Let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. May your word be our guide, your spirit our teacher, and the greater glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, our supreme desire. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, this week, the Prime Minister, Theresa May, signed the letter that began the Brexit process. But which will bring a better world? Brexit or non-Brexit? You're all worried now. You're thinking the vicar is getting political. No, which will bring a better world? Brexit or non-Brexit? Well, don't worry, I'm not getting political, because the answer is, the only way we can get the world that we long for is through our Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done and will complete. But the question taps into some of our deepest longings about the world and the world we live in. So, questions about justice. Justice. What will justice be like if we leave the EU? When we leave the EU, will UK laws be better than European laws? Or vice versa? But not just Europe, look around the world. Where can you find justice in the world? There are dictators. There are human rulers who defy any attempt for there to be justice in their country, or across borders even. Do you ever wonder, if only that could be dealt with? If only. What about safety? Living in safety and peace with healthy lives. What will happen out of the EU? Will we be in a safer, more healthy environment or not? But more to the point, across the world, we look at the world and it's a broken world, isn't it? People are not safe in their own homes even. There's much suffering around the world. There's disease. Do you ever wonder, if only all of that could be done away with? If only it could stop? Or unity. What will happen to relationships in this country between neighbours, between people with different colour skin or different country of origin, once Brexit goes ahead? But again, not just Brexit, we look around the world and there's rejection, violence, just because of your nationality or the colour of your skin. Do you ever wonder, if only humans could live together in peace? If only we could be united. Well, where is the answer to these longings? Where can we get justice, safety, unity? Not, according to Isaiah, from any human ruler or his or her schemes, but only from, according to Isaiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. There is a promise in Jesus that one day all these things will be sorted out, that there will be perfect justice. There will be an end to the curse of creation, so there will be safety. And all people from, or rather people from all nations will be in complete unity. And that's all because of Jesus. And that's what our passage today is about. This promise came years before Jesus was even born, but it's fulfilled in him, and it gives us hope. So where are we in Isaiah so far? Well, to help us think about that, let's have a quick look back a page or two in the book to chapter 7. This is a passage in chapter 7 that we've gone past. We haven't had a chance to look at it. We haven't got enough time to look at every chapter in the book. But chapter 7 is going to help to set the scene for today. So verse 1 of chapter 7, when Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, was king of Judah. I remember that the nation has been split in two, north and south. So Judah is the south bit. Uzziah, it was the king before Ahaz. So Ahaz's son has come to reign in the southern bit of the kingdom. When he, King Rezin of Aram, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem. So Ahaz is king, and these other two kings, Rezin and Pekah, have come from the north, from the northern kingdom of Israel, but also from the neighbour Aram, and they're going down to Jerusalem to fight Ahaz. So it was a nasty fight, but they couldn't overpower Jerusalem on that occasion. It happens again in the next verse. There's another incursion from these two nations. And where is Ahaz going to turn with all this going on? What's he going to do? That's the big question that comes up to Isaiah. And Isaiah goes to him, verse 3. The Lord said to Isaiah, go out, you and your son, Shear Jashub, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct, the upper pool, on the road to the launderer's field. Say to him, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smouldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram and of the son of Remaliah. So Isaiah's message to Ahaz is, depend on the Lord. Don't worry about what these other nations might do. Don't go down to Egypt and ask them for help. Don't go to Assyria the other way and ask them for help. Just trust me, says the Lord through Isaiah. This is Isaiah's job. He's a prophet of the Lord. He's the covenant. He brings the covenant again to the people, the covenant they have with God, and says, remember this, remember the Lord. Turn back to him. Well, Ahaz refuses. And in the rest of that chapter, Ahaz comes up with some false piety. He pretends he's all being very godly. But in fact, he's refusing to hear Isaiah's message and to do what God wants. And he turns to other people for help rather than the Lord. And that's a sign of what's going on in the nation. We saw this when we looked at chapter 6 and chapters 1 and 2. The people are stubborn. They don't want to hear what God has got to say. They want to go their own way, which is a way of oppression and bloodshed. And Isaiah says God's judgment is coming on you because of that. Although there is a hope. There's a hope for a small number of them who are still trusting in God. They hang on and are faithful. But what happens when we get to chapter 11? When we come back to chapter 11, Ahaz has disobeyed, but there's a message of hope. So Isaiah brings that message in chapter 11, and it's a message of hope in the future. The people of God can still trust in the Lord, even though disaster is coming for now. And what will happen is, there will be, one day, instead of Ahaz, a new king bringing justice. A new creation bringing safety. A new exodus bringing unity. Let's look at verses 1 to 5 then. First of all, a new king bringing justice. And this is a really famous passage. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. This is a passage that's read at Christmas. It's a message to Isaiah's people, a glimmer of hope, that there will be a decent king. He'll be a king of David's line, the ultimate king. He won't be motivated by greed and self-interest and the things that make all the other rulers tick. This will be a king of God's king, a righteous king. So that's the message for Isaiah's people. And the message for us is that this is Jesus. He's speaking in advance about Jesus, things that Jesus alone will fulfill. Verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he'll delight in the fear of the Lord. Well, how do we know that this is a king that we're dealing with here? He is a shoot from the stump of Jesse. Now, Jesse was King David's father. So someone from the line of Jesse is from the line of David. He's going to be the promised one. There was a promise made to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7 that from his line would come a king who would be the perfect king, as it were. And this is him. He's a shoot coming up from the stump of Jesse, a branch that will bear fruit. So he is a king. How do we know that he's going to be able to bring justice? Well, he's going to possess the mind of God. Those words we just read. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and fear of the Lord. He's going to have the mind of God. Divine wisdom and understanding. And even more than that, when he looks at what's going on, he's not just going to go on the surface appearance of things. I've found it very difficult. I have found it very difficult as a father with my kids to work out what's going on when they come and moan at me. Oh, he did this. Oh, she did that. I don't know. I look at it, I listen to what they say, and I don't know what the answer is. Perhaps you've had the same experience. But this judge won't. Look at verse 3. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. Now, you first read that, you think, what? He's going to ignore all that. But the point is, what you see and hear is deceptive. Instead, verse 4, he'll see the reality. With righteousness, he will judge the needy. With justice, he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He'll strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. When he gives his decisions, he's not going to have to go out with a warring army. He'll just speak, and things will change. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The things you're clothed with, those are the things that mark out your character and your capabilities. And this is him. He's righteousness and faithfulness. So this king is able to bring justice. A new king bringing justice. How's it going to be fulfilled? Well, I've already said with Jesus, but how do we know that? Have a look again at verse 2. The very first line. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. Okay, so what we've got is someone coming forward, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on this person. Now, this happens again in Isaiah, in a number of places, and two in particular. Now, don't turn to it, because it's a little bit of a way away in Isaiah, but chapter 42, verse 1. Isaiah says, with the Lord speaks to Isaiah, here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my Spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. So the servant of the Lord, chapters 40 through to 55, 6, about the servant. He's going to have his Spirit, God's Spirit on him. And then chapter 61, the last section of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord, Sovereign Lord, is on me, because the Lord has The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. It's the same again, isn't it? There's a person anointed by the Spirit. This is a theme that unites the three sections of Isaiah. Now, who is it who quotes that last section, chapter 61, verse 1? It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself. When he's in Nazareth, as a grown man, stands up in the synagogue and reads this passage out from Isaiah and says to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. He is the one spoken of in Isaiah like this. The one on whom is the Spirit of the Lord. He is the Messiah, the King, the new King, who brings justice. Do you long for justice? Do you long to see laws fairly applied? Do you long to see impartiality and the needy and the poor not being oppressed but being treated fairly? Do you long to see dictators, torturers, bankers even, being brought to account? Then the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that we need to depend on. Now, it is important that people work for justice today. And with the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe through our jobs and through things that we do, we can do that and work to see justice, more justice come. But ultimately, complete justice will only come and will come. It's a promise. It's a sure hope with Jesus' return. In the book of Acts, Paul says this. He says, God has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he's appointed. He will give proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. Jesus, the new king who brings justice. And then in the passage, a new creation bringing safety. When the new king comes with justice, there's going to be a new creation. And in this new creation, complete safety. It's going to be a reversal of the fall. Genesis chapter 3, human beings sin, and God corrupts the creation in judgment at our sin. And we still see that today. The Bible describes this as the curse. The whole of creation is under a curse. We see it in our lives, don't we? We see it with our relationships, how we can't always keep them the way they should be. We say things we shouldn't. Other people do as well. We see it with our bodies. We get diseases. They don't go away. We see it with a mudslide in Colombia yesterday. Broken creation. But now, when this comes about, Isaiah 11, there'll be a new creation bringing safety. The promise is that the curse will be reversed. So have a look at verses 6 and 7. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with a bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. In every lion there are two animals that were enemies. But they're at peace. Before, they would fight each other, and one would be food for the other. The wolf and the lamb. The leopard and the goat. But now, they're going to sleep and eat together in complete peace. There will be safety. And it's even more clear in verses 8 and 9. Back in Genesis 3, after Adam and Eve sinned, there was a curse on Adam and Eve and the serpent. And the serpent was told there had been enmity between his offspring and Eve's offspring. There'll be enmity and a curse. Let me look it up so it makes sense when I read the passage. Genesis 3. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between her offspring and yours. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. So what happens in 11, Isaiah 11, verse 8? The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. It's the complete opposite. The enmity is gone. It's a sign of the reversal of the curse, and not of evil being accepted, but of the fact that all the things that have gone wrong have been put right. It's a new creation, and it's as if it was Eden again. God's people, in God's place, under God's rule and blessing. Now, if you go on YouTube and search for humans and animals, just don't look at what you get, okay? Just look at the titles. A dude punches kangaroo. Poachers trampled by elephant. Lions versus humans versus anaconda versus people. You just read the titles, but I didn't even try looking at the films because it's dreadful. Humans and animals, we get on in some ways. We do a nice cat and a nice dog, but there are all sorts of ways that it's not good. Animals are dangerous. Stay well clear. But here, there's a new king bringing a new creation, and all is reversed. It's a sign that the curse has gone. The brokenness of the creation has been mended and in the new creation. And it's not just animals. It will be everything. Safety at last. All causes of sickness and sorrow gone. So do you long for safety? Do you long for a world where you don't have to worry when someone's late? Where are they? What's happened to them? Where cancer and Alzheimer's don't loom up ahead of you? Where you can trust all your friends? It's coming. It's coming, and not through the work of Theresa May or Jeremy Corbyn or Jean-Claude Juncker even, but through Jesus. Don't trust on humans, but depend on Jesus. He will bring a new creation, bringing safety. So a new king with justice. A new creation with safety. And then verses 10 to 16... a new exodus bringing unity. Have a look at that very last verse. There'll be a highway for the remnant of his people that is left from Assyria, as there was for Israel when they came up from Egypt. It's a new exodus. Exodus was back in, surprisingly, the book of Exodus. A mass departure of people from Egypt, God's people, across the Nile, which is moved aside for them, towards the promised land. God's people coming home. And it's going to happen again, Isaiah is told to tell the people. It's going to happen again. And here, people will leave lands all around the world and gather together. And those who are once enemies will be reconciled. Where do the nations gather? Have a look. Chapter 11, verse 10. In that day, the root of Jesse, remember that's the Messiah, the king in David's line, our Lord Jesus. The root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. They're coming to the Messiah, Jesus. And all sorts of people are coming, and all sorts of reconciliations take place. So you've got all nations in verse 10. In verse 11, you've got the scattered remnant, so those who were faithful, as it were, at the time of Isaiah, the faithful people who trusted in the Lord. In verses 12 and 13, the north and the south kingdoms are reunited. Ephraim, that's another name for the north, Ephraim's jealousy will vanish, we're told. So the kingdom will be reunited. There are some who aren't included. And verse 14, God's historic enemies are not included. But all people from all nations will gather at the banner of the Messiah. A new Exodus bringing unity. Do you long for unity? Do you long for a day when you can walk down the street and no one will look at you because of the colour of your skin or where they think you're from? Do you long for a day when things like that are irrelevant? And people get on, whether or not they've got a UK passport or whatever colour that passport is even. This is a promise that the Messiah alone can fulfil. There will be a day when people from all nations will be united, whatever their backgrounds, whatever their skin colour, whatever passport they hold, united by trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, how does Jesus fulfil these promises in Isaiah? He fulfills them because of his death and resurrection and when he returns. Because of his death and resurrection, his death and resurrection enable this to happen by dying on the cross for our sin and removing that wrath of God at our sin so that we can have new life, so that we can be forgiven. Jesus makes this possible, a new creation, a new unity and justice. And when will we see it? Well, the Bible tells us we'll see it at his second coming, at his return. And he will return, we're told. And then all of this will be fulfilled. Now, meanwhile, who shall we trust? Juncker? No human being. Only Jesus. Yes, let's work to see whatever human improvements we can in the fields of justice and safety and unity. Let's do what we can. But remember, we'll always be limited by the curse and human frailty and weakness until that's removed. And while we wait, let's eagerly wait for the real thing and the return of Jesus, depending only on him. Let's pray. He will delight in the fear of the Lord. Heavenly Fathers, we hear of the things you have promised that are fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ and will be fulfilled when he returns. We pray for your help to delight in him. Don't let us be like Ahaz, who looked everywhere else for help except for you. Help us to turn to you and depend on you. And with your strength and help, help us to make a difference in this world while we wait. But keep our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus, we pray. In his name, amen.